At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buehr.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to Oregon Week as your Golden Gophers travel out to the Pacific Northwest to Luke's second home. That is, I assume Eugene, Oregon is one of your favorite places as a Washington Huskies fan. And for the first time ever, they are going to be taking on in Eugene. Now, I will say that I want anybody to get angry with me off the bat here, because I remember the 2003 Sun Bowl like Luke Buehr does, where the Gophers won 31-30. Mm-hmm. But Luke, if I learned anything from our bye week episode, it's that people believe I don't listen to you, because who am I? Who am I? So apparently not a very good listener. You often tell me, Ryan, you've got two ears and one mouth, so you might as well use them. And so I'm going to do my best to change my best here as we talk about your Golden Gophers taking on the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, that was an interesting comment over there on Gopher Illustrated. I think there are times that you maybe don't listen or hear what you want to hear, but I think that most humans, right? I think it's human nature to kind of want to hear what we want to hear. Listening is a skill. I sometimes think I'm good at listening. I other times wonder if I listen at all. So, I think we can all improve there. I will say this, just based on some of the Spotify comments, I think people did enjoy the conversation that we had. We had some good some folks that had good recommendations, you know, for the not Ring of Honor but retired jerseys, including Carl Eller was one. A name I wasn't even familiar with was another one that I'm not sure I can find it. That might actually have been on Gopher Illustrated. It's hard to keep track of all that. But in general, I think people enjoyed the conversation, and I enjoyed having the conversation with you, even though we don't always agree, Ryan.
Yeah, if that ain't the case. I'd also tell you, on my side of things, not only did I hear from someone within the Gopher Athletic Department who listened to that episode and then wanted to share some thoughts and feelings with me, and which I appreciate to that very lovely listener, I also heard from a former U of M employee who wanted to share some more context upon the things that we were discussing. So it's always fascinating, because I know I say this every time, and I always come across as maybe a little bit cross to you lovely listeners, but you are either the most devilishly handsome people I know or the most spectacularly beautiful. Now, I know that my nomenclature and my vernacular aren't exactly immaculate, but it amazes me that on every one of these episodes, we have thousands of you listening, and I never know who or why or where you're going to be coming from as you're listening to this. I mean, I think about, like, I'm a loyal Gleeman and the Geek listener. For those of you who are Twins fans, I think it's probably the only thing I listen to outside of the Eyes on Big Ten podcast. And like, they get listeners from all over, and then I'll hear from somebody even this past week. In the last few days, Luke, I don't even think I told you this in the pre-production meeting. Like, I heard from someone who listened to the bye week episode, get ready for this, from Nepal.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen
Gopher football and Nepal, I'm not sure, have ever been uttered in the same breath until that very moment, and you are the first person in your bloodline now to hear that, Luke.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at our data and just how global it is, too. Like, not big numbers, right? And some of it, you're like, how many of these are bots and how many of these are real? There's consistently someone in Nepal that listens pretty regularly, which is awesome. And yeah, I've had friends that have gone and worked and lived in Nepal. A good high school friend of mine, she was over there, married a guy from over there, now lives back here in the Twin Cities. I imagine we have people all over, and we thank you for listening. That's one of the great things about the internet, is it can really connect and bring us all together, especially kind of this small knit community that we have, which is Gopher Gridiron Radio.
Well, that's where the hope would be. If you're going to Nepal, you got to take an airplane. And that brings me into, for those of you traveling to the Oregon game, and maybe you're listening to us right now on your way to the airport, you're at the airport, maybe you're on an Amtrak, because the FAA overlords have not blessed you and shined down upon you. So for those of you like myself trying to travel out to the Eugene area Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I hope the luck is on our side, because I know a lot of you have reached out and you're very excited to take in a game. Am I enunciating this correctly? Autzen Stadium?
I've always said Autzen. I'm not sure if it's okay. Correct.
Well, you're the Washington Husky guy. I assume you can pronounce your rival stadium correctly.
I tend to try and keep anything Oregon out of my mouth. I am not the biggest Oregon fan.
I can see your shirt right now. You are such a liar. You have a Nike logo on, Phil Knight.
No, I'm very much not wearing any Nike apparel at the moment. And I will say, I was very conflicted, in that Iowa and Oregon game. If the stadium could have spontaneously combusted, that would have been my choice.
I'm sure you and many others were thinking the same thing. As I was watching that game at a first birthday party for my goddaughter at what's the brewery by the U? It's High Flyer, something like that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was very interesting to take in that disgusting type of game, where not only was it those two teams, but also disgusting type of weather, which, let me lead off the bat there and steal Luke Buehr's thunder from the 72-hour out weather report here, folks. If you are now listening to this prior to packing and you're heading out to Eugene, I'd bring a raincoat, because I think there's a very good chance that in the rainforest that is the Pacific Northwest, it's going to be 47 degrees, mist, light rain of some kind, which is going to remind me of the game that Oregon played against Wisconsin just a few weeks back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if it's actually going to rain for that game. It's in like the 20-ish% range, which, you know, is about an 80% chance it rains, but it's just going to mist, knowing that weather climate pretty well.
Can I say it's going to be damp, or would you like me to use the word moist? Because that is a word that I'm not usually allowed to say in my house, because my wife hates that word.
Any of those are fine with me personally.
Okay. We'll use damp for the purposes of this podcast. It's going to be cold and damp now.
I would generally say, though, like, when it's wet and humid like that and it's cool, it always feels colder than it truly is. You know that my sister lives in, and my mom is from the Pacific Northwest, so we've spent a lot of time out there. And my sister lives there now, I should say. And my sister will often say, like, sometimes she misses Minnesota winters, because in Seattle, you just never feel like you get dry, right? And it's like, it can be like 44 degrees or 41 degrees, and it just feels cold. So just be prepared. Layers are good, and have one layer that that can wick some wet.
This is what we're here for. Not only are we your resident gopher experts, we're also your resident meteorologists, which means there's a high likelihood we get the entire thing wrong, and you have to be okay with it. Thank you for our understanding.
All right, let's get to some injuries, because injuries are a big part of the game of football. If you watch any of that Iowa and Oregon game, you know that Oregon played a very physical game, lost and didn't have a couple of their wide receivers, still found a way And you know, they're coming back, Ryan, on a short week as well. Minnesota should have had the opportunity to heal up a little bit. You, I think, teased in the last episode we did that there may be a chance that Darius Taylor plays. So I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are for both of these squads.
Yeah, welcome to November Big Ten football, where the injury report is very long and there's a lot of ambiguity in it, because if Fleck's not going to talk about it, your guy Dan Lanning is also not going to talk about it. So let's start with the Minnesota side of things, and let's be optimistic here. And I think the intel that I've received out of Lock and Key from Dinkytown is I feel pretty decent about the chances of Darius Taylor making his return on Friday night. For those of you going to the game or just trying to see a really good game on Friday, Minnesota's going to need Darius Taylor healthy. They're going to need him to play well. So I think you're going to see Darius Taylor make his return. I believe it would be 20 days since that Iowa game where he suffered some sort of soft tissue injury. Now, I know there's a few listeners thinking, well, Ryan, why would, if he's not at 100%, not just keep him out? What does this game matter? They're a 25-point underdog anyway. I would tend to agree with you, but I think from what I've been told, I mean, he's very close to 100%, if not 100%, and he wants to give it a go. So I think we're going to see how it goes here the rest of the week. We'll see how he warms up in that cool, damp environment that is the state of Oregon. But I think that should be good news for a Gopher running game that has struggled to stop spinning their tires. So hopefully he can be the chains on those tires to give them some traction. I think you look at the defensive side of the ball, Minnesota has been very banged up in their secondary. I'm a little optimistic they can get either Mike Gerald and or Garrison Monroe back, which would be very important for them. So Jayonte McMillan, who has been a savior for them at outside corner, because you have Zaquan Bryan, who missed the game against Michigan State because of a pregame injury in warmups for his shoulder. That didn't allow him to go. I think he should be able to be ready to make his comeback. So you should be getting healthier at corner. I think you're also going to be getting healthier at safety with Garrison Monroe. For those of you asking, Theo Randall, Christian Driver, question mark, I just don't think you're going to see them at any point this season. Then we get to the Oregon side of things, which is very interesting because I talked to our Oregon 24/7 guy, Eric Scopel. And last week against Iowa, you mentioned it, the top two pass catchers, DeCorian Moore and Kenyon Sadiq, and Sadiq being what I think is probably a first-team All-Big Ten tight end, and then Moore is their leading receiver, they both were held out in Iowa City. Plus, their starting slot receiver, Gary Bryant Jr., was knocked out of the game with his own injury. Now, Lanning did not give any updates this week, and Oregon media is not allowed at practice. From the way I've been reading tea leaves and talking to people out there, I don't know that I expect Moore to go in this one on a short week in a damp environment. I think Sadiq probably returns, which he is going to be a mismatch nightmare. Like I said, he's one of the best tight ends in college football. I mean, he is what all of you want Roman Voss to be, the Mr. Football finalist who just led Jackson County Central, I think, over Caledonia with 5 or 6 touchdowns the other night. I mean, Kenyon Sadiq is the real deal. Now, the Ducks are down to just 4 scholarship receivers, but the guys that they do put out there are obviously tremendous players and very talented. The starting right tackle for Oregon missed the Iowa game, as did a starting linebacker in Devin Jackson. I mean, they're a deep team to begin with because they have Phil Knight money, but it is going to be very interesting to see how healthy is Oregon on a short week at home, knowing that they've got, what do they have after this, Luke? Isn't it USC and your favorite Washington team?
Yeah, that might be. I didn't look at their schedule. I can look at that while we continue to chat, but you know, they definitely have a schedule that is formidable towards the end.
Yeah, so I am going to be very curious to see what the Oregon training staff does on a short week as 25-point home favorites. I don't know that it'll matter, but it's something that we have to figure out. And for those of you curious, I'm trying to think, what is this, an 8 p.m. kickoff local time here,
yep,
Central?
Yep.
So at about 6 p.m., as you get done having a couple of Maroon Madnesses wherever you are around the world, tune into Twitter. And we'll have the injury report out both sides, and we'll see where the chips lie.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense, Ryan. You know, this is an Oregon defense that is really, 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 really good. I hate to admit that. But on the season, your Gophers are averaging 23.8 points per game. Oregon is giving up 13.8 points per game. That is fourth in the Big Ten. In terms of total offense, the Gophers, I think there is a typo here in the document. It says 3,143 yards of total offense, but it's actually got to be more like 314. Whereas Oregon is giving up 2,239 yards of total offense. That ranks second. In terms of rushing offense per game, the Gophers are averaging 109 yards, where Oregon is giving up 113. That's eighth in the Big Ten. And then in terms of passing offenses, the Gophers are averaging 203 yards, where Oregon is giving up 123, which is first. If you look at the turnover margin, something that we pay attention to, Minnesota's plus two in the turnover margin with 10 takeaways and two giveaways, whereas Oregon is a plus six with 13 and seven total. So, Ryan, what do you expect this Gopher? What do you expect this Gopher offense to have to do to have success against this very good Oregon defense?
Yeah. Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? This is an Oregon defense that I think is in the same tier as Ohio State, and I think Ohio State is one of the best defenses that maybe has played against a PJ Fleck team. I mean, you look at the statistics, and Luke laid them out. Like, Oregon is number two in college football in total defense, rush defense. Like, they are tremendous, and they have a front four that I think is better than what Minnesota played in Columbus. I mean, they are, and the offensive coordinator, Greg Harbaugh, talked about it today. I mean, I'm not going to attempt to enunciate some of these names because my Polynesian, look, we all heard the struggles of Luke and I when we had to pronounce
Sangapolitele.
Yes, Jaron Kiave Sangapolitele, and you know how long it took us to be able to get there. But, like, number 10 is very, very good. He's a defensive end for them. A name from a blast from the past for those of you who are recruiting sickos like myself, Bear Alexander, who was the in some sort of relationship to my third cousin, former Golden Gopher linebacker, Jaquandus Burns. You'll remember him. Why does that sound familiar? It's because he was sort of interested in Minnesota at one point. Well, Bear Alexander is their starting one technique, a former five-star who has had a very interesting journey throughout his college football career, starting at Georgia and then at USC and then transferring to Oregon. Yeah, I mean, that's the type of talent that they have there. 52, I think, has one of the best get-offs Minnesota has seen at defensive tackle since Mason Graham played at Michigan against Minnesota last year. And I think we're even still forgetting about what is probably, I mean, we talked 10, we talked 52, we talked Bear Alexander. 44 is their leading guy in pressures. Like, their front four, they're just going to line up across from you, and they're not going to do anything tricky or crazy. They just know they're better than you. And that's why they're the second best total defense in all of college football. And we looked at Minnesota and how they've traveled on the road. I'll be the first to say it. I hope not to say it too many times to discourage people, but not only are the Gophers 0-3 on the road this year, they've been outscored 110-20. And now they get to face this very, very gifted Oregon defensive line. So we're going to talk a lot today about the Minnesota Moving Company. In theory, this would be great on paper, but this is why we play the games. You've had a bye week to get healthy and rested for the final stretch run, Minnesota Moving Company. You need to put together your most physical effort, because if not, it doesn't matter that Darius Taylor could return. And if you can't keep Drake Lindsey upright, it's not going to matter at all. So we're going to have to see the Gopher offensive line bring it. I think we're going to spend a lot of time in December talking about how we got here with the offensive line, with some empty recruiting classes in 2021 through 2023, guys who should be anywhere from redshirt seniors to redshirt sophomores. But for another three games, this is an offensive line that's got to figure it out. And if they don't figure it out this weekend, Luke, I mean, it's just going to be, it might be getting late pretty early out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, so if you look at the Oregon from an advanced stats perspective, Ryan, if you look at defensive success rate, they rank 10th in the country against the dropback and 43rd against the rush.
Well, I'm also staring at game on paper here. Do you know what their EPA per play as a defense is?
I'm looking at CFB graphs, and it's negative zero.
The point being, I have them as the number one defense in college football EPA per play. And oh, by the way, they're also the number one defense on early downs.
Yeah.
Like they're really, 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 really good, man. And Dan Lanning has a strong defensive background. There's a reason that Oregon chose him back in the day for what he did at Georgia. Like this thing. I think the thing I've learned from last year, and you've watched more Oregon football than I have, is Oregon was tremendous last year. I mean, they were the number one team in college football heading into the playoff, and then Ohio State slapped them in the mouth. And I think what Dan Lanning and his staff learned from last year's experience that they're going to be putting forth now towards their college football playoff berth here upcoming is that they needed to be able to run the football as an offense, which we'll get to here in a second, but also be really good in the trenches. And I think they have, like I said, one of the best defensive lines in college football. And they have an offensive line that, thanks to the portal, they were able to go out and make some acquisitions for millions of dollars. And again, I love Phil Knight for Dan Lanning, and they all work together. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, you know, if there's a weakness for their defense, it's their rush defense, but it's really not a weakness relative, you know, to the rest of their defense. They're just really good against the pass, right? EPA per dropback, they're fourth in the country. You know, EPA per rush, they're 28th according to CFB graphs. And you know, they're really good, as you said, against early downs, in the EPA. They're just really good. They don't give up very many quality drives. And, you know, that's what Minnesota has had to manufacture. So the idea that Minnesota is going to find success, because Minnesota in terms of quality drive rate is 102nd in the country. And if you look at Oregon, they're number four in the country. So Minnesota is going to have to be able to get explosive plays. That's not something that Oregon's defense has been able to give up. So if you're going to find success, that's probably how you're going to find it. Or to your point, you have to play complementary football, Ryan, where you talk about a lot that you need to have the special teams or the defense give you good field position, which we haven't seen a lot of from Minnesota this season.
No, I'll remind our listeners that there has been one drive in the last five games for the Gopher offense that has started in opponent territory. We'll get to it here in a second. A lot of that comes from the lack of takeaways from this Gopher defense, and that just struggle here recently, plus on the road. But I also think, I mean, if you're the offensive coordinator, Greg Harbaugh, what do you have to lose here? And I essentially made that point to him today at the press conferences. And for those of you who don't believe me, you're more than welcome to read on Gopher Illustrated what I asked him, or you can go watch the press conference on YouTube for yourself. But I was essentially just like, look, man, you're a 3-4 touchdown underdog. Do you just throw the whole kitchen sink at them and say, I know we're not good enough to potentially beat you 11-on-11, just – so do you just throw it at him? And he was just, it's like, no, like, we got to be creative. Yeah. But we also got to go execute. And if I just, you know, be gimmicky, like, the players probably aren't just going to execute that. Now, we also, I know that the media never asked the tough questions. You tell me that all the time. We did talk about tempo today too. Now, we talked about that with PJ on Monday, Harbaugh on Tuesday. And from listening to their answers, I also think back to the Jerry Kill era. Why do I think back to that? Because I remember back when talking to Jay Sovell, the former Gopher defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach at Wyoming, and he hated tempo when the Gopher offense would go tempo.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody realizes the upside in tempo.
Yes.
Which is, all right, you get the defense a change of pace. Like, they're not able to substitute. Maybe you can get a little quick game going. You can, you know, get some first downs. Well, the downside of tempo is one that we haven't talked about, I think, enough, is what if you go tempo and you go 3 and out and you took 10 seconds off the
exactly.
clock?
Exactly. Yep.
Or 40 seconds off the clock. And your defense that is going to be in this specific game, for the context of this game, We will talk about tempo differently against Northwestern and Wrigley, and then differently at the end of the season at Huntington Bank Stadium, because I agree largely with the overarching point. We made that after Michigan State. We made that during the bye week. I would use more tempo. But when you're facing on the other side a running offense that is top three in college football, your defense is going to get worn down if they go, if you go tempo three and out, and there was only in real time, not just game time, real time, say 75 seconds come off the clock before Tom Weston trots out there, your defense is going, I mean, it does more harm than good. So it is a double-edged sword to an extent. But again, it's very interesting to kind of pick the brains of the people who make the decision. So we did talk tempo with Fleck and Harbaugh this week.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how the Gophers attack this, you know, they attack this Oregon defense, which we know is very good. Let's take
I just quick... hope, like, I feel like last part here is I feel like many Gopher fans feel the same way. Like, look, if I'm traveling all the way out there and fighting the FAA overlords to do so, I want to sit in that open air press box and at least see them try.
Yeah.
Like, I want Fleck, like, if he turtles after 20 minutes, but like they try with Drake for the first 3-4 drives, so be it. But I just want to see you try, because if you try and your defense actually holds up some, or God forbid they give you a takeaway, like, then this game can get real interesting, like the Wisconsin-Oregon game did in similar types of weather conditions. We saw them try against Ohio State. I do believe that. And then the Iowa game just got out of hand. I just want to see them try. That's my plea to the head coach. Just try, man. Just try. A lot of Gopher fans making this trip. Do it for them.
All right, let's take a quick break. We will come back. We'll talk about when the Gophers are on defense. We will talk facts and figures, and we'll talk keys to the game and predictions. Ryan, I don't know if you noticed, but all of a sudden it's already November, and you know what that time is. It's open enrollment time. So while you're thinking about life insurance, or I shouldn't say life insurance, health insurance, looking at maybe making a change there, you know, this is a good time to also think about your auto, home, life, all maybe your ATV insurance, boat insurance, and the Burns Insurance Agency can help you shop during that open enrollment period.
I mean, absolutely. And that's where the independent insurance agent himself, that is the Burns Insurance Agency, located in lovely downtown Oakdale, Minnesota. For myself as a client, I've talked about this story before, but we had a hailstorm come through here in Roseville. And initially when the adjuster came out, he told me to go shove it, that there wasn't enough damage. Well, guess what? My insurance agent came out with our own roofing people, took the quality photos, said, nah, we're not going to shove it. And I got a brand new roof out of it for only my deductible. And it's because my insurance agent puts in the extra effort. You're not just a number on a spreadsheet. Or even, I love to tell the story last year of Austin coming up to me on Oak Street before the Gopher game and saying, hey, he and Tina, they saved you $700. Appreciate it. Well, he found me here just a few weeks ago. Guess what? They switched him to a different insurance here in 2025, saved him $1,000 on his home and auto. That is the beauty of an independent insurance agent. They're not loyal to anyone except their client, which is you. So if you want to give them a shout today, shoot them an email, bill@insurancebyburns.com, or check them out online, insurancebyburns, all one word, .com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Ryan, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, Oregon is averaging 38.7 points per game. That ranks third in the Big Ten, where Minnesota is giving up 21.6 points per game. In terms of total offense, they're averaging 471 yards. That ranks them third again in the Big Ten. Minnesota is giving up 311. In terms of rushing the ball, they're averaging 239 yards on the ground. Minnesota is giving up 108 yards rushing. And then in terms of passing offense, they're averaging 231 yards through the air, where Minnesota is giving up 203 yards. We went over the take give already. They're a plus six. You know, this offense for Oregon is very good. They rank first in the country in EPA per rush, according to CFB graphs. They rank 15th in EPA per drop back. If you look at their offensive success rate, they're 44th in drop back success rate, and they're number one in rushing. I think you alluded to this earlier, Ryan, when we talked a little bit about the defense. They're very good in the trenches, and they are very good at running the ball, and they are quite explosive at running the ball.
Yes, it's one of the things where you think about an Oregon offense, and I think a lot of us are drawn to, as I guess casual Oregon fans, and maybe there's some of you out there that are more hardcore, but I think of the Chip Kelly kind of run and shoot Oregon offense. And this is not that. This is, we are going to just out physical you. We are going to run the ball, and we're going to run the ball downhill. And the thing with their running offense is it's number three in terms of the amount of rushing yards they put up per game against Power 5 opponents. It's like 238 rushing yards per game. This isn't like Nebraska, who just uses Emma Johnson all the time, or even like the Gophers used to do with Muhammad Ibrahim. They have a three-headed rushing attack in Noah Whittington, Jordan Davison, and De'Aaron Hill. And this is an Oregon running back room that leads the Big Ten in missed tackles forced. They have three different styles of backs, I would say: speed, power, and a little bit of both. Like, they are very different, and they're very multiples in offense. You'll see some looks where there's two backs on the field. You're going to see kind of like some diamond type of formations. And oh, by the way, they've also got a potential first-round draft pick and former five-star Dante Moore at quarterback, who, again, we talked about Bear Alexander earlier, is a guy who has had a little bit of an interesting route. Well, Dante Moore signed with UCLA back in 2023, ended up transferring to Oregon, kind of took the year last year to learn from Dylan Gabriel, and now he has looked the part. I mean, we're talking about a guy who is completing north of, I think, 70% of his passes with 19 passing touchdowns and just five picks. And he leads all Big Ten quarterbacks as well in PFF's big-time throw percentage. And I think, I mean, no throw is more evident to me than for those of you who did watch the Hawkeye Ducks game last week when they needed it on that final drive in the rain. I mean, Dante Moore threw an absolute dot,
yes,
to get them into field goal range. And that's been the story of his season, and now why NFL draft nicks are talking about him as a potential first round pick. So it has been something to where they're very good at running the football. They're very explosive at running the football, because no team in the entirety of college football has more 20 plus yard runs than the University of Oregon. So what is priority 1, 2, and 3 for Danny Collins, and what could be 40 degrees and mist? It is stopping Oregon's rushing attack, or at least slowing it down. We saw against Michigan State, there were some leaks in there where there were some long runs and outside zone. I'm sure that Oregon saw it as well. If the Gophers can't stop the run, this game is going to be over at 10:30, because Oregon will rush for 300 yards, and they'll be more than okay doing it. But you have to stop the run. And then the other piece of this, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, Luke, is in three road games, the Gophers have yet to force a takeaway. That is an interception or a fumble recovery as a defense. You cannot in this game win in Oregon and pull a top eight upset without being plus two in the take give, at least, if not plus three. I mean, I'd love to be plus three, but you've yet to force a takeaway on the road. And the last defensive takeaway that they actually had, Luke, was as we sit here in time, as we're recording this, a literal month ago. And I know that doesn't sound right to people, but it was the Coy Parrish pick six.
Yeah,
was the last time they had an interception or a fumble recovery as a defense. They've gone the last three games. Now, there have been some turnover on downs, and I understand the subjective nature of what I'm describing. I get it. But the takeaways themselves to set up a struggling offense, if you're going to pull the upset, you've got to find a way to get a strip sack. You've got to find a way to deflect the pass at the line of scrimmage, be able to get an interception, whatever it may be, takeaways and stopping the run, priorities one and 1B for Danny Collins on Friday night.
All right, just last things I want to add. We talked about this going into the Michigan State game, how Minnesota is not very good against QB-designed runs, especially with QB-designed run EPA. This isn't something that that Oregon does a ton, but they rank 15th in the country in QB-designed EPA. Minnesota, conversely, on defense is 113th. Moore is not like one to run a ton, but he is athletic enough to do it, and he's definitely agile enough in terms of you know, scramble rate, you know, etc. But I just don't love that matchup for the Minnesota defense. They could exploit Minnesota in that way as well. This is something a mobile quarterback has hurt them so far this year, especially, and this is another mobile quarterback for Oregon.
Well, you saw him take it down the left sidelines there where I thought he was going to house it. And then I read some quotes here this week where I almost thought he tweaked a hamstring or something. The way he came up lame, I thought it was almost he was injured. He said, no. He goes, when I looked to my left and I saw Dan Lanning matching me stride for stride, I figured I wasn't actually running that fast, and so I should probably just go out of bounds. I'm thinking to myself,
that's funny.
Boy, if that ain't a humbling feeling as a five-star athlete.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Okay, I don't know that I have any more on defense. Let me just mention one other thing. You know, weather can always be a great equalizer, right? And you can see that in the Wisconsin and Oregon game, where Wisconsin was able to have a 19% havoc rate, which is in the 86th percentile, which probably helped keep them in this game against Oregon. You know, if weather does play an impact, you hope that Minnesota can keep up their havoc rate, which has been very, very good of late. It hasn't really traveled though, as you know, Orion. But defensively, they're going to need that if they're going to win. They frankly just need to win the turnover battle if they're going to have any chance of winning. That's the only path I see.
Well, that's where, like, I even asked Danny Collins today, where, you know, I harp on it all the time, and I know it frustrates some of you, but it's, to me, how do you have the most amount of sacks in the Big Ten, and how are you second in tackles for loss? Yet the takeaways just aren't there. I know some of it's fluky. And so I asked Danny Collins, I said that to him, and I was like, are you just kind of putting your hands up being like, what do you want me to do here? We're creating chaos in the backfield, either around the quarterback with sacks or just tackles for loss in general. Yet the ball isn't coming out. And, you know, he talked about how, got to continue to stress it, and yeah, they're a little frustrated with it, but you hope the dam breaks. And I also understand within it, and I talked about it with Fleck on Monday too, that because they're actually getting home more, that it's the give and take of you're getting home more, and that's great, which in theory should lead to a strip sack or two. And yes, I remember the Devon Eastern one where it just bounced back into the belly of the Michigan State quarterback, but there's a lot of other examples here too, where because you finish the sack, it's not just a horribly thrown ball into no man's land that is picked off. So you want to have the sacks, and that's great. You just hope that because you're getting the sacks, you can actually get the ball out more often, because the pressure itself can force bad throws. It's just, I don't know what else you kind of tell like Danny Collins and that defense to do, because statistically it looks great. But then, like I said, they've gone the last 12 quarters without a takeaway, or 12 straight quarters on the road, too, without the takeaways. And that's part of the 78%. One of the things I agree with Fleck on is, I mean, if you're not going to win this game without being plus two, plus three. And you said it, and they got to find ways to punch the ball out in a slippery environment on Friday.
All right. Ready to get to the facts and the figures?
Let's do it.
All right. So on the season, Minnesota comes into this game 6-3. They're 4-2 in the Big Ten. Oregon is 8-1, 5-1 in the Big Ten. PJ Fleck and Dan Lanning, I don't believe, have ever coached against one another, because Dan Lanning is only in his fourth year as a head coach at the University of Oregon, where he is 43-7. Minnesota leads the all-time series against Oregon 3-1. Minnesota won the last meeting, I think, as you alluded to earlier, Ryan. They won 31-30 in the 2003 Sun Bowl in El Paso, Texas. I do remember that game. I remember watching it. I think Joey Harrington was a quarterback for Oregon, if memory serves. This game will be at 8 p.m. on November 14th. Oregon is ranked number 7 in the country for television. This game will be on Fox with Jason Benetti on play-by-play and Robert Griffin III as the analyst. And I don't know, I think it's Alexa Landestoy is the reporter. The same crew on radio for those of you locally. This will be local kick time, will obviously be 6 o'clock. One thing that I always find interesting, Ryan, is Minnesota gets some shade is maybe the better term for the size of their stadium. Well, Oregon Stadium is only 54,000 at total capacity. It is very much a difficult.
Any shot you can take at the Ducks, I love that you're taking it. This is your time to shine.
Well, there's not a lot of good reason, or I don't have a lot of good things I can take shots at them. But no, Minnesota gets grief for having such a small stadium. Oregon also has a small stadium. I actually think it's smart in the current landscape of college football. And I like it. This is actually, I think, a compliment to them. I think Minnesota made the right decision in the size of stadium that they built when they built TCF Bank Stadium. Otherwise, you know, just going to the betting lines quickly, Minnesota is currently a 25.5 point underdog. It opened at minus 21.5, according to ESPN Bet, which, by the way, RIP is going away. And the over under is currently 44.5. So Minnesota is not projected to win this game, as you might have imagined. I also noted that if you want to get into this game, you can get tickets as low as $36. You alluded to the weather a little bit earlier already, Ryan, but it does look like it should be in the middle to high 40s. It looks like it's maybe about 25% chance of rain during game time, but it could have rained in the morning, so it could feel pretty damp. As well, obviously we're 72 some hours out. But if you look at the dew point is going to be pretty high. Be prepared for it to feel pretty cool. Any other things you want to add to the facts and figures?
I do want to bring you back to that Sun Bowl. Okay. Back in 2003, because you said Joey Harrington.
Oh, I could be wrong.
You are wrong, but the funny part is it's a different Oregon quarterback who played in the NFL for a very long time.
Who was it?
So I would tell you, all right, he's from, you know, where he was born and raised, was Burns, Oregon, of all places.
Okay.
Okay. He was a second round draft pick of the New York Football Jets. You getting any closer yet?
No.
He was the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Oregon. His name, ladies and gentlemen, was Kellen Clemens, is who we were looking for. Really? Threw for 363 yards and 3 touchdowns that day. Your guy, Lawrence Maroney, ran for 131 yards and a touchdown. Thomas Tepe had 3 rushing touchdowns. The pride of Chino, California, Aaron Hosack, led the Gophers in receiving. And something called Sammy Parker for Oregon absolutely torched them. He did his best Keenan Allen in a PPR league performance with 16 receptions for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. But obviously the Gophers did come away with a victory 31-30 that day. Kellen Clemens, not a name I thought I was going to talk about today, but figured let's get a little bit of history in here. Not every day the Oregon Ducks and the Golden Gophers play, eh?
Yeah, I should mention, too, Friday is the first time the Gophers, the Ducks, will play in Eugene. The first two matchups took place in 1961 and 1975, and both took place in Minneapolis. And their last two meetings were actually both in Sun Bowl. So 1999 Sun Bowl must have been when Joey Harrington played. In the 2003 one was the Kellen Clement. So I'm just flipping those around. And I do believe that the 99 one they lost, and then as you mentioned, the 2003 yep. one, the Gophers won. But yeah, so there is a little bit of history here. Now a conference foe. This will be the first time that Oregon and Minnesota will play. It's probably worth noting as well, Ryan, that this is a 2-hour time change for the Gophers, which doesn't bode well. And just in general, the road has not been a friend to the Gophers at all this season. So
no, it is not. I think that's putting it kindly, Luke, but yeah. No, it is not.
All right. Looking quickly, I'll look at our previous predictions before we get to your keys to the game. But on the season, Ryan, you are 7-2 in predicting games. You're 4-4 against the over under, and you're 6-2 against the spread. I am also 7-2. I'm 5-3 against the over under, and I am 3-5 against the spread. So should be an interesting one. So for your keys to the game, what do the Gophers have to do to be able to find victory in Eugene?
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you, the Minnesota Moving Company needs to show up. I'm tired of coming on this podcast and talking about one of my favorite advanced football metrics that myself and Daniel House share a love of, and that is the term called line yards. It is something that attempts to measure the number of rushing yards that are attributed to an offensive line. It's something that is on College Football Data for you nerds who want to get into the weeds with us. There you go. The issue is, the offensive line continues to struggle there. I mean, they're at last year, their 2024 mark of 2.75 O-line yards per rush was 113th in college football. And that was also the lowest mark of any Fleck era offensive line, the lowest mark of any Gopher offensive line back to 2010. Well, now through nine games of 2025, they're below that. They're at 2.68 O-line yards per rush. And I know the easiest thing to do is blame the offensive coordinator, and I will continue to say I am well aware he's without blame, and I'm not. He is part of the blame pie. I just continue to say, if you can't run into even boxes, and if you didn't go back and listen to the Michigan State one, where the former Golden Gopher offensive lineman himself, Derek Burns, who is the golden child of this podcast, if I've learned anything over the years, when he says, I don't know what you want them to do if you can't run 6-on-6 in the box, that's going to be kind of the story I think you watch on Friday, is Oregon's going to dare Minnesota to run it. And if Minnesota can't run 6-on-6 with Darius Taylor or Femi Ejiboy or whoever it is, there isn't a play in the world that can get it done then. So the Gophers need to find a way to bring the physicality on the road, which is something they struggled with against Cal, they struggled with against Iowa, they struggled with against Ohio State, and this might be the best defensive front the Gophers have played on the road to date, if not the entire season. It's not going to be easy. You're going to be the more rested of the two teams, but the point being is, from left to right, from Nathan Roy all the way to Dylan Ray, those boys got to have their best game of the season if Drake Lindsey's going to remain upright and Darius Taylor's going to have any place to run. So the Minnesota Moving Company has to bring it. For the defense, it's something that we've already talked about. It's get your first defensive takeaway in over a month. I mean, you have no shot as a defense if you just allow 375 total yards and you don't get any takeaways, because that's not how this game works. It doesn't work as just one unit. It works as an entire offense, defense, and special teams. Your offense is struggling. We all see it. I'm not naive, but they need to get some advantageous field position. And that being said, it means you have to be +2 in the take give. You lead the entire Big Ten in sacks. Now, I will note that for those of you trying to get really deep into the weeds with us, Dante Moore gets the ball out second quickest of all Big Ten quarterbacks. So when he does throw the ball, and there's a lot of RPO nature to what they do, the ball's out quick. So if you don't initially win on your rush, go for defensive line. Do as Andrew Van Ginkle does for the Vikings defensive line so well. get your damn hands up and get hands in the passing lane and try to deflect some balls to force takeaways. I mean, it also comes down to, if you can't get the takeaways, you need to stop the bleep and run, because this is an Oregon rush defense that ranks number one among Power Four teams in yards per carry. They're averaging 238 rushing yards per game. They have a pair and a spare, which, may I add, is an excellent name for a podcast. I wish somebody would use that, that they deploy in their backfield. They are number one in the Big Ten as a running back unit in missed tackles forced, so you better tackle well in space, and you got to get some takeaways. And then finally, I mean, we talk about it every week, Luke, but you got to win the 78%. I mean, you got to win the take give by two. You got to find a way to generate some explosive plays on offense, defense. I have just completely given up on special teams. And it's not because I don't believe in Coy Parrish. I don't believe in Bob Ligacheski's blocking schemes in front of him. I think they're absolutely executed horrendously, which brings me pain, because I think the pride of Detroit Lakes, Mason Carrier, is working his tail off, but the rest of that unit doesn't know how to execute with him. So it pains me to say that, but you got to win the 78%. If you're going to upset the number 8 team in the country as a almost 4 touchdown underdog, it's a slim margin. I understand that, but that's the path. Is you have to keep Drake upright, you have to give Darius Taylor some room, and you got to stop the run and get some takeaways. Then see where the chips lie in the second half. Crazier things have happened, but that's your path to victory, Luke. We'll see if it happens.
All right, so let's get to predictions. You want to go first or second, my man?
I'll go second this week.
Okay. So looking at this specific game, I think the challenge that I see for the Gophers is being able to stop the run. I know that Minnesota hasn't been terrible against the run, but I think this is by far the best rushing attack that they will see. I just don't see that Oregon is going to fall off. I get that they're coming on short rest, but it just seems like a game that doesn't fit well for them. I alluded to earlier, the quarterback mobility can also be a problem for this Gopher team. You astutely took one of my points, Ryan, that Moore gets the ball out very quickly. I think that will neutralize some of the havoc rate that you've seen Minnesota have. And this is the second best defense that the Gophers will play. I think it's 1A and 1B between Ohio State and Oregon. I will take so just a reminder, I should remind people as we're putting these predictions out, Oregon is a 25.5 point favorite right now, as we see, with an over under of 44.5. I will take Oregon 31. I will go Minnesota 7.
So you're taking the Gophers to cover and an under.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I shouldn't take an under. Let me go 37-7.
Okay, so you're going to go Oregon covers and an over.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. A few other notes for our listeners here before we get to it. I know I'm not allowed to do my Johnny Raincloud and Maroon Madness, so I found other ways to deal with myself here. Oregon is +3 in the take give at home this season. Minnesota, -5 on the road. And I talk about all these takeaways I want Minnesota to get. Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot easier said than done, because Oregon has only given away the football twice in 5 games at home this season. Now, I went back and looked too, Luke, because I figured it's sort of relevant. In Friday night Big Ten games this season, there have been 4 of them. The home team is 3-1, and they have outscored their opponents on average by 12 points in those contests. Okay? The Ducks, when you look at the Pro Football Focus team categories, are the number one team in the Big Ten as a pass-blocking offensive line. Their run game, their tackling as a defense, and in coverage. Minnesota's contested catch win rate, which, if I talk about it, it only took me, 50 minutes into the podcast today to bring it up once again. But their contested catch win rate is at 34%, a.k.a. 50-50 balls are right now 34-66. That is 17th in the Big Ten. And then we get to what I will say is then a little bit of hope. The best defensive lineman no one in the Big Ten talks about, Anthony Smith, is still tied for the lead in the Big Ten with 8.5 sacks. And he also leads the he leads the Big Ten in tackles for loss per game at 1.28. I do want to note here, I reached out on Twitter today to Dane Brugler, for those of you who would like to follow the NFL draft, I think he's one of the best out there in the internet draft community. He writes for The Athletic. I think his famous piece is called The Beast. I think he does really good work. And he put out his updated top 50 today, and I noticed that Anthony Smith wasn't on it. So I reached out to him and say, where would you have him? And he had a third-round grade on him, which I think is very interesting, because if that is going to be shared actually somewhere in the same realm as what NFL teams do, I'm beginning to think there may be a better chance that if that is true. Now, again, this is just one guy on the internet's opinion, but I happen to value his opinion pretty greatly. I think he's pretty accurate. I think there's a better chance than I thought that Anthony Smith might come back then if that's the case for 2026. Now, I would love nothing more than for Anthony Smith to have his best game of the season on Friday night, because that means the Gophers might win. But just something to note here. And then the final thing I'll add is, for those of you hoping to see Coy Parrish get a kick return, Oregon has only had 5 kickoff returns returned in all season. So that would be a 9 game. So a lot of these are just touchbacks. So how do I see the game going? Look, the truth cannot be controversial. And the truth is, the Gophers have played horrifically on the road all year. And now they face a future college football playoff team 2 time zones away. In theory, it's a short week for Oregon, which it is, off a very physical game against Iowa. And the Gophers got a bye week to prepare. It's just, until the Gopher defense can get a takeaway on the road, or special teams can do an impactful thing, or the offense displays physicality up front and on the outside for 60 minutes, I just don't think it'll be a game. So I'm going to say the Gophers lose 34-6. That would be an Oregon cover, and that would be an under.
I technically was an under too, because I'm at 44 and it's 44.5. So
It depends on the book you're looking at. I think DraftKings, as we sit here right now, has them at 43.5, FanDuel's 44.5. But I want this game to be close, because I'm spending money like many of you, just traveling out to watch this game, and I don't get Glenn Taylor's dime to be able to do it. So but it's, until this team can show up on the road, you have to pick scores like that, because that's just what we've seen. So buck the trend, make me look like a fool, and
yeah, for sure,
nothing more.
Yeah, for sure. You want to do a quick spin around the Big Ten?
Let's do it.
All right. So you got Wisconsin going to Indiana, who escaped Penn State at 11 a.m. on BTN. Indiana is a 29.5-point favorite with the over-under of 44.5.
Do you think Wisconsin's got some magic?
I think they could maybe hang till halftime, but then no.
I just think Indiana at home is just going to get this done.
Yeah, for sure.
I know, like, Wisconsin can't find a way to win another game in which their punter throws for the most yards on the team.
That was amazing.
And I think Indiana can shut down the Wisconsin rushing attack. And then, as we've seen, once Indiana gets somebody on the mat, they then put the foot on the throat. Mm-hmm. And then they don't stop until they stop breathing. So I think this one gets late early.
All right, so you've got number 18 Michigan traveling to Northwestern, this game will be played at Wrigley Field at 11 a.m. on Fox. I should mention, if you're a Gopher fan, this is where you're headed next. So if you're curious about how the game will look and you don't remember from years past on Wrigley Field, tune in to this one at 11 a.m. Michigan is a 12.5-point favorite with the over-under of 41.5. I feel like this is a bit of disrespect to Northwestern.
I said it on Parent and Spare today, but I wouldn't be shocked if Northwestern just wins it.
Yeah.
Like, Michigan has its warts, so does Northwestern. But, I mean, Northwestern gave USC all they could handle. I know the score looked what it did, but I think you look at how that game actually unfolded, plus Now there's controversy about the backup quarterback changing numbers to the one as a punter.
And yeah, that was a bit Bush League.
Like, I will also say, speaking of Bush League, I'm as upset as many of you Gopher fans are traveling to Wrigley next week that we don't know what time the game is still. For those of you who have been asking me and didn't see, this game got put on a 6-day hold, which means we will find out definitively on Sunday what time the Gophers play at Wrigley. Now, I believe, and I'm probably wrong in this because I get corrected all the time and told how much of an idiot I am for being wrong so much, I believe most, if not all, of these games at Wrigley Field historically have been at 11 a.m. Now, I don't know why they didn't just come out and say next week's going to be at 11 a.m. I said to Luke in the pre-production meeting, my theory behind it is that they know it's going to be at 11 a.m. They just don't know if it's going to be on FS1, if it's going to be on BTN, whatever it may be. But I think it's dumb. I think you should just tell people it's at 11 a.m. so everybody can start to plan their travel. Sue me, Luke. It is what it is. Call me Brian Kelly in LSU with that type of statement.
All right. Number 21, Iowa travels to number 17, USC for a 2:30 kick on BTN. This is having USC as a 6.5-point favorite with the over-under of 49.5.
That's a lot of points.
Especially for an Iowa team. I know it's a short... No, it's not a short week for Iowa. I'm sorry. Iowa comes
That's
off
a lot of points.
Physical one. Yeah, especially, it's expecting a lot of points from Iowa.
It's expecting a lot from USC to actually show up in a game like this.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I'm very curious to see this one. I think this is the best one of the week, personally.
I think Iowa wins it outright. If you're trying, right. I know I've now said that about two different teams that I think are a touchdown underdog, but I like the Hawkeyes here just because I don't think Lincoln Riley can win big games like this. And I think Iowa's physicality is going to continue to show.
All right. Penn State travels to Michigan State. Somebody has to win this game, so they will have a Big Ten win on their resume. This is a 2:30 kick on CBS. Penn State is a 7.5-point favorite with the over-under of 49.5.
2-0-6 Big Ten teams is the 2:30 CBS game.
You heard it here
first.
They
must have had to fill some contractual clauses here late in the season. What in the absolute tomfoolery is this?
Yeah, and as we both know, neither of these teams are terrible. Their records obviously don't look good, but you know they can definitely play up to their competition, and I think this could be a good one. Maryland, Loxless, is going to travel to Illinois for a 2:30 kick on FS1. $8 can get you into this game if you travel to Champaign, Illinois.
Champagne.
And Illinois is a 14.5-point favorite with the over-under of 53.5. That feels about right for the over-under. Illinois has been putting up a lot of points, and that's how Maryland goes.
Maryland in October, November, we know how it goes. I will ask you the same question I asked you during the bye week. Do you think Mike Loxley is still coaching the Maryland Terrapins when we record next?
That's why I said the Loxless Maryland Terrapins. So, no.
Okay. Interesting.
Purdue travels to Seattle to take on the Huskies, a 6 p.m. game on FS1. This has Washington as a 16.5-point favorite with the over-under of 53.5.
Not only did I pour one out this week for the Edmund Fitzgerald, because that's all I've been listening to. That's my entire Instagram reel feed is Gordon Lightfoot and Edmund Fitzgerald, 50-year anniversary for the 29 men who gave their brave lives. I'm also pouring one out, Luke, for Devin Maccabee. The Gopher Slayer is out for the rest of the season.
And a career.
That means his college career is now over. So for those of you who watched 45 trample the Gophers for 3 games and you now see that he's out, when you're holding up that tall boy out in Eugene or at Wrigley or in the tailgating lots of Huntington Bank Stadium, as you're listening to Gordon Lightfoot, also put one up in the air for Devin Maccabee, please.
All right. UCLA travels to Columbus to take on number 1 Ohio State in the Big Turd game of the week. This is a 6:30 kick on NBC. Ohio State is a 32.5-point favorite with the over-under of 48 points. 7.5.
What was your favorite? UCLA was horrible, fired their coach, got hot, and now has now crashed back down to earth with two straight Big Ten losses and gets to be the unfortunate victim for what remains the redemption tour for Ohio State, or back-to-back the Michael Jordan Bulls era. I mean, I've seen this game before, 6:30 national television game on NBC. Poor Bruins. That's all I can say, Nico. Poor you going against Arvel Reese and those creatures that Matt Patricia has on that side of the ball.
Yeah, so they lost their first four games. They won three in a row, and I think it's very likely that they lose their last five in total. All right. I think that's all we got, Ryan. I hope you have some safe travels out to Eugene and you enjoy the greater Pacific Northwest. Beautiful country. And thank you guys for listening. If you're traveling, travel safe. Enjoy what is beautiful country. And thanks for listening. And go Gophers.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.